Glad to see you here this morning. The first passage we're going to go to is going to be found in Mark chapter 4. That's on page 839 in the Church Bible. What we're doing is we're going through this series called Faith Problems, and basically we're dealing with problems that we might be having with our faith, so things that stand in the way of us having a vibrant faith in the Lord. So I'm going to open us in a word of prayer, and then we're going to get right into the message this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. I thank you, Lord, that we truly are redeemed, that you bought us back with the high price of your blood on the cross. So I pray now, Lord, that as we spend time in your word, that it helps us to know you better, and it helps us also to just fully understand how to navigate through this life, Lord, with your help. So I pray, Lord, that you would just minimize all the distractions from this room and from our minds so that we can focus our attention on you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So we're dealing with faith problems, and like I've done for the past few weeks is I want to define faith just so we're all on the same page. Hebrews 11:1 says this, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen." So in other words, it's confidence that what you believe is actually true, and you know what? You feel so attached to what you believe that it actually impacts the way that you live. So a faith problem is something that's actually standing in the way of you either believing the truth or living the truth out. So it's something that's standing away, either you believing the truth or you living that truth out. So the faith problem we're going to deal with this morning is called fear. Okay, so we all have fears. Everybody's afraid of something different. Everybody has a little different fear in life. But a Chapman University study of 1,500 Americans was taken in 2014 on the topic of fear. And here are the top fears that have come up. Not sure that you could see this that well, but basically 25% would be all the way, the graph going all the way at the end, and then down at the bottom is about 8%. So 25% of the people said that public speaking was their greatest fear. So I'm feeling pretty brave right now, okay? But then it goes down, and heights was right up there. Bugs, snakes, and other animals, drowning, blood and needles, claustrophobia, flying strangers, not flying strangers, flying and then strangers, okay? Zombies, darkness, clowns, and let me just tell you a story about clowns. I was never afraid of clowns until I went to a seaside clown parade, okay? We took my son there when he was about 18 months old. He wasn't scared. I was terrified. We never went back, okay? There needs to be some kind of licensing there, I think. And then at the bottom of the list, ghosts, okay? You know what? I'm going to call these secondary type fears because the truth is most of us have what I call primary fears, such as the fear of failure, the loss of a loved one, health issues, safety issues, financial issues, comfort, security issues. These would be, I would say, primary fears. I'll give you drowning. That's a primary fear, okay? But most of these we see here are secondary fears. But what I want to do is before we study fear, I want you to kind of finish this sentence in your head so you have a fear in mind. I am afraid of what? In your mind, what is a fear of yours? Is it a financial thing? Is it a health thing? Is it something that you know you're dealing with and have been dealing with? What is your fear? So as you're thinking about that fear, what we're going to do is study these fears or study how to deal with these fears. So no matter how great or small or how realistic or unrealistic your fear might be, they could actually cause a problem for your faith. So today what I'm going to do is I'm going to examine the reason for our fears, then we're going to look at how to work through our fears, and then we're going to look at what healthy fears that we should have. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, found on page 839 in the Church Bible. Mark chapter 4. And there's an account of Jesus and his disciples on a boat in a storm. And it starts off in verse 35. It says this. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so the boat was already filled. But when in the stern, asleep, But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the sea and said, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So now we see this account. We see the disciples with Jesus out on a boat in a storm. Jesus falls asleep before the storm, apparently. The storm raged in, and then they were like, "Oh no, we're going to die. Jesus, don't you care about us?" Jesus, wake up. So Jesus wakes up, calms the storm, and says to them, "You know, don't you have faith?" And then they were filled with great fear because he did this. So they went from being afraid to being afraid, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. They went from the fear of the storm to the fear of who in the world is this. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to look at the reasons that we might have fears are kind of parallel to the reasons that they had fears. The first is this: past experiences. You might have a fear because of a past experience that you have had. I'm sure the disciples have encountered bad storms when they were out fishing. Most of them were fishermen, so they probably encountered storms and they were afraid. They thought their life was in jeopardy. They knew how dangerous and how violent these storms could be. So naturally, they were afraid. Maybe in the past, you've had a bad experience. Maybe it was the fear of commitment to a relationship. Maybe you lacked commitment or someone has lacked commitment towards you. And you know what? Going forward, you don't like relationships that much because in the past, you've been burnt. So you're afraid of relationships. Maybe you fear financial ruin because you grew up in a household that was always trying to make ends meet. It was never really financially secure. And you just fear financial ruin. You're like, "I don't want my kids to grow up in that environment. I don't want to deal with those financial issues. I'm afraid of those things." And it's because of past experiences. Or maybe you have a fear of failure. Maybe you've tried many things in life and you just continue to fail. Maybe it was relationally, maybe it was financially, maybe it was career-wise, maybe it was school. Whatever it was, you have a string of failures in your history. So now, moving forward, you're afraid to even try. You're afraid to even step out into the unknown because you're afraid that you're going to fail again. What's happening is you're allowing your past situation to define you. You're allowing your past situation to define you. Kind of like that song we sang, "I've Been Redeemed." Not letting our past define who we are. But the next reason that we might have fear is observing what has happened to other people. The disciples, they themselves may never have been in one of those violent storms on the sea, but they might know somebody who has, and they came back and said, "It's bad out there. You feel like you're going to die." Or worse, they might know someone who never came back. They might have observed an experience where friends of theirs went out on a boat and a violent storm hit, and the boat or the friends were never found. So now they're afraid. They're afraid to be out there. Many of our fears are based upon observing what has happened to other people. Do you realize that? Actually, in this Chapman study, do you know that it said that people that watch TV more frequently have greater fears? Do you realize that? People that watch TV more frequently have greater fears. Do you know why that is? It's because they're observing all these bad things that happen to other people. Let me just speak to you parents for a second. Allowing your child to watch too much media, too much movies, TV and stuff like that, you can actually be creating a child that is fearful of their surroundings by allowing them to watch things that are not appropriate for their age. And let me just tell you this, parents, you're in charge, okay? Remember, your kids are not running the ship. Your kids are not in charge. So if they say, "Well, all my friends are watching this," or "I'm going to watch this anyway," you can say, "No, okay? I'm in charge. I'm the parent. You're the child. And I'm going to allow you to watch certain things and not allow you to watch other things." Let me just to give you an idea, some of you parents might have heard of this show. It's on at 9 a.m. on Saturday mornings on Fox 5. It's not just for kids, but it's geared towards kids. It's called The Real Winning Edge. Has anybody heard of this show? Okay, this is a secret, and it shouldn't be. This show, The Real Winning Edge, it's about pretty much like teenagers that overcame tough situations in their life. So my family, we would watch this every Saturday morning. We'd put it on, and the kids would watch it. And we were always amazed because all of a sudden we'd see like bands like 10th Ave North was on there. And then the kid would be like, well, what really helped me through this was my faith. And you'll see the kid like going to a youth group or reading the Bible. So every time we watch this show, there was always like a faith component. We're like, wow, this is on regular TV at 9 a.m. on Channel 5. This is great. So I went on the website, The Real Winning Edge. It's not overtly Christian, but it supports a lot of Christian ministries. And basically what it is positive television for your child. Rather than placing fear in them, it actually shows them stories of kids that overcame different things. So that's at 9 a.m. on Fox Channel 5 on Saturday. Just a little advertisement for The Real Winning Edge. But you know what? It could really help your child and you actually see those types of things. But you know what happens is we have fear because we observe situations that happen to other people and we say, I don't want that to be me. The next is a wandering mind, okay? The disciples were thinking the worst. We're going to die. That's what they were thinking. We're going to die. That's what they said. Jesus, we're perishing. We're going to die. Okay? Is that you when it comes to fears in your life? Does your mind always go to worst case scenarios? Is that you? Husband or wife is late home from work, or husband, you know, oh, they must have gotten in an accident. I heard sirens. Oh, no. You know, is that you? Do you always go to worst case scenarios? Your mind just kind of goes and it starts to go and you're like, I saw something on TV and that reminds me of this. And you know, a white van might pull up and take my kid and it has no windows. So if you have a white van with no windows, I'm sorry. Chuck Swindoll said this, fear is a powerful enemy. It feeds on itself and grows so that you feel controlled by it. That's a wandering mind. You start to feel controlled by the power of your fear. It's an enemy to you. I'm going to talk more about that when we get to the sermon on anxiety because that has a lot to do with our mind. But here's the thing. Your wandering mind can control you. The fears that you might have can actually be so strong that they control your whole thought process. And everything that you do is controlled by that. And then finally, a reason for our fear, Jesus said it right to the disciples. It's a lack of faith. After they woke Jesus up, he was accused of not caring. Okay, Jesus was like, you know what? I was sleeping through the storm. That storm wasn't bad, okay? He gets up and he says, listen, why don't you have faith? Do you still have no faith? Why are you afraid? See, when fear takes over, it displays our lack of faith. That's basically what happens. So how do we work through these things? I mentioned a lot of reasons, but how do we actually work through these things? And I'm going to give you some tips on how we can work through our fear. The first is this, focus on the future. We talked about the past, right? Letting that control us. We need to focus in on the future. Isaiah 43, verses 18 through 19, I'll read it to you. It's about the prophet Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah is speaking to Israel about their salvation. And this is what he says. He says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. Jesus, the prophet Isaiah here is actually saying, listen, forget the past as far as salvation is concerned. I'm doing something new. And, you know, he's talking about Jesus, essentially, Jesus coming, essentially. But what we can apply this to is for us is, you know what? The past is the past. Shakespeare said it this way, what's past is prologue. It's introduction, okay? It's already happened. It's already happened. So what do we do with the past to focus in on the future? And I believe that wise people learn from the past. We look at the past, and we look at the past mistakes that we've made. We look at the past decisions that we've made that didn't pan out, that maybe have caused a fear in us, a fear of failure. We look at those things, and we actually learn from those past situations. Then, when we focus in on the future, when we come to the time when we have to make a decision again, when we come to a time where, you know what, in the past that didn't work out, we tweak it and we do something different for the future. We say, you know what, last time that didn't work, so I'm not going to beat my head against the wall and try to continue to do that. See, when we focus in on the future, it helps us really to forget about the past because there's really not much that we can do from about past circumstances and situations. The next thing we do is we face the fear. If the fear is something that's common in everyday life, it will actually paralyze you. I know of a person who's afraid to go over bridges in a car or driving the car. They're just afraid of it, okay? Would you agree that that could paralyze you from living a normal life? I mean, try to get out of New Jersey without using a bridge, okay? There might be a way, but for the most part, you're gonna be afraid. So what happens when you have a fear like that? Well, I think what happens is you have to actually start to face that fear, to work through that fear. Remember Psalm 23, you've probably heard this read at funerals. It's probably a very popular psalm for funerals. But it says this, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows." You know what that's saying? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. What's he doing? He's actually facing the fear, okay? He's walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And he's saying, you know what? You're with me. I'm not doing this alone. So whatever that fear, no matter great or small, you know that God is with you. But I find that in life, even if it's not something that we need to do, in life, sometimes facing a fear actually gives us confidence to face greater fears, things that we do need to do. And I want to tell you a little illustration about myself. It's kind of a silly illustration, but it really means a lot to me because it was a fear that I actually faced. Some of you might have been here about a month ago or so. Peter Goweski spoke, and he talked about spearfishing, and he said, oh, Pastor Mike, he started spearfishing too. And I did. He let the cat out of the bag. There was a couple of guys. Actually, some of the guys are in this room, Tommy and Ricky, Tommy's dad, Tom Arthur. Some of you know him. He plays a harmonica. These guys were all talking to me about spearfishing. We're all surfers. We spend a lot of time surfing. So like when there's no waves, it's great. You go spearfishing. So I was like, okay, you know. And then I would ask them questions. Where do you go spearfishing? And they would say like Barnegat Inlet. I'm like, where in the inlet? They're like, in the inlet, like next to the rocks. I'm like, these guys are nuts. I'm like, what are they doing? And so they would just keep on talking about this. But I had this little fear in the back of my head, which was actually a great fear. Many years ago, I was down in the Keys and I went snorkeling and it was bad. Okay, I freaked out underwater. Like I could not breathe through that little snorkel. I couldn't do it. And fish were coming at me and I was like, I hate this, you know? And, you know, people will be like, why, you're a surfer. I'm like, well, surfers spend time above the water, okay? That's the ideal. If you're underwater too much, you're not a good surfer, okay? So these guys are talking to me and stuff, so I bought the equipment. So the first day I went spearfishing, we went to Barnegat Light. It was me and Tom Arthur Sr. And he was like, okay, you know, it's low tide. And if you've ever been to Barnegat Inlet, or really any inlet, but Barnegat Inlet, it's a serious inlet. When the tide's coming in, it's like a river moving in. And when the tide's going out, it's a river moving out. So we were literally right there. If you can see, we were right on that little corner. Okay, we jumped in. Tom's like, we'll just stay here. And the river's running out. Okay, Tom jumps in and I'm still getting my flippers on and stuff. And all of a sudden Tom jumps in and he just goes around the corner. He's like, bye. Like, I was like, are you serious? I'm here by myself now. So I jump in and I'm like, we have a buoy that's attached to us. It's getting all tangled up. I literally make it around the corner. As soon as I see a rock, I grab onto it. I just climb out. I was like, I'm done. I can't do this. And I see Tom, he's going, he shoots a fish and gets another fish for me. And I was like, wow, this is great. You know, he's got me a fish. But I'm like, I can't do this. I can't do this. So afterwards, he's like, oh, that was tough. You know, the current was bad. He's like, let's go tomorrow, 6 a.m. I'm like, okay. So I wake up at like 5:30 in the morning. I'm literally laying in my bed like, this is the stupidest hobby I've ever heard of. Like, stupidest thing. And like, I'm like, I'm not going. I'm canceling. I'm going to text him. And then I just started praying. I was like, Lord, I was like, I could do this. Like, with your help, I know I could do this. And I'm you know, positive self-talking, praying. I'm doing all this stuff. So I went. I went spearfishing. We got in, the tide was good, everything was good. And you know, I'm underwater and like, I can't hold my breath longer than like 7 seconds. So I'm going down and that's not long for anybody. So I'm going down, I finally shoot this fish. There it is. Nemo didn't come home that day. He was dinner. But the reason why I tell you this is I was afraid and still, I've been probably a dozen or two times Spearfishing, I'm still afraid. I just don't like it's, I don't know if it's a claustrophobia thing underwater, if it's a, I'm going to turn around, there's going to be a great white shark looking at me. I don't know what it is, but I can't hold my breath that well. But the more I actually do it, the more I face that fear, the more confidence it gives me. And the reason why I tell you this is because when we actually do things that we don't necessarily need to do, but they build confidence, it actually helps us to face greater fears in our life. Because the fear of spearfishing, yeah, I mean, you never have to do that. But you know what? For me, I was like, I'm going to confront this. I'm going to conquer it with the Lord's help. And you know what? It gives me confidence. So maybe you have a fear of confronting someone that's sinning against you. Maybe you have a fear of telling your boss that you won't be dishonest for their company anymore. Well, you know what the Lord is telling us is, listen, you got to face those fears. Face those fears head on. Psalm 34:4 says this, I sought the Lord, he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. See, when we face that fear, the Lord is with you and he will help you through it. The next is seek help from others. Okay, remember those people that you observed? That's why you have the fear. Oh man, that happened to them. I don't want to do that. That can happen to me too. Well, you know what? There's also people in your life that can actually help you through this. Help you through this. Some of you might remember the story of Bethany Hamilton, the soul surfer. Do you remember that? Some years ago, she had her arm bit off by a shark. I don't know if you know the whole story, if you read the book. The book's a great book, so encouraging. It's about 150 pages. You can read it really quick. And such an encouraging story. 3 weeks after the accident, she went surfing again. And you know, she had every reason to be afraid, don't you think? She had every reason to be afraid. And you know, some people will say, well, what are the chances it's gonna happen again? Well, same as it happened the first time, right? The shark's not gonna be like, oh, we already bit her, let's move on. It's not gonna happen, okay? It's same chances, okay? But she went in 3 weeks after, right? Not only to go and face that fear, but now she's swimming with one arm, okay? She has one less arm, and she's surfing. Here's a picture of her, surfing Pipeline with one arm. This is like 10 years later after the accident. So I can look at that, for me, I can observe that and seek help from that situation and look and say, wow, you know what? Here's a person who an amazingly bad thing happened, and the Lord worked it out because she was willing to face the fear. What I'd like you to do is turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes 4, it's on page 555 in the Church Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, in verse 9, it says this. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him. You know, this is talking about us having companionship in life. When you have a fear, you seek help from other people. Somebody who went through a similar circumstance. Somebody who has the same fears. Somebody who's conquered those fears. Somebody who never had those fears. How do you do that? How do you do that without being afraid? They can tell you. They can guide you. It says, pity the person that doesn't have people like that in their life. Okay? So seek help from other people. The next is guard your mind. Okay? Remember back to our study? Everybody laughed when zombies was on there. Let me just tell you, the only reason why zombies is a fear in 2014 is because of TVs and movies. Okay, let me just clear that up for you, just in case you're wondering. They're not real, okay? They're not real. But it's a fear now that people have because they watch TV. Oh, you know, zombies, Walking Dead, all this stuff. I'm afraid zombies are going to apocalypse. I know it's real. No, it's not, okay? It's not real. It's made up because of wandering minds, right? So we need to guard our minds, don't we? You know, when people talk to me about vacations, you like vacations? Yeah, I like vacations. They're like, go on a cruise. I'm like, here's what I think of. There's going to be germs on the boat. I'm going to fall off and I'm going to be swimming for 9 hours in shark-infested water, or somebody in my family is going to get assaulted. That's what I think of. Why? Because I watch Dateline. Okay? Will I ever go on the cruise? I don't know. But that's what comes to mind, because I didn't guard my mind. I watched these shows and I saw, oh no. But you know what Philippians 4:8 tells us? It says, finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about such things. So what does God want you to think about? Things that are going to be helpful for you. Things that are going to put a smile on your face. Things that are going to encourage you. Not things that are going to make you afraid. Guard your mind. Again, parents, guard the minds of your children. You're in charge there. Guard that little mind. Don't make them little people that are afraid of things that they should never be afraid of. And the next is this, trust in the Lord. Think about Jesus. Think about Jesus. Did Jesus experience fear? This is a million-dollar question for you. Did Jesus experience fear? And I would suggest that he did. Do you remember the garden prayer? Do you remember the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane? What was happening to Jesus? He was actually so stressed out that he was sweating blood. But what did he do? He prayed to the Father and said, Father, not my will, your will be done. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, your will be done. So Jesus did, I would say he did have a degree of fear at this point because he knew what he was going to go through. He knew he was going to be tortured and crucified. He knew that he was going to be separate from the Father and the Father's face would look away from him while he was on the cross paying for the sins of many. See, in Psalm 27:1, it actually tells us that the Lord is our rock and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? Of whom shall we be afraid? See, I'm here to tell you today that there is something that's so much more important than anything that you can imagine. And it's that Jesus Christ loves you so much and he died for you. The Bible tells us this, we are all sinners in need of a Savior. That Savior's name is Jesus. When he was dying on the cross, he was paying the price for our sins. 3 days later, he rose again to prove that he was God. And the Bible says this, all who believe will have eternal life. And in Psalm 27 and in Psalm 56, it pretty much says, when we put our trust in the Lord, we should not fear people. We should not fear situations. We don't have a reason to fear because we have Jesus as our Savior. So we need to trust him. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-control. See, fear doesn't come from God. Power, love, and self-control do. Fear comes from all those things that we discussed. Fear comes from all those things that we discussed. But that begs a question, though. Okay, we trust in the Lord, but is there a healthy fear that we should have as Christians? If you believe in Jesus as your Savior, is there a healthy fear that you should have? Well, Martin Luther King, whose day we celebrate tomorrow, he said this about fear. He says this, normal fear protects us. Abnormal fear paralyzes us. Normal fear motivates us to improve our individual and collective welfare. Abnormal fear consistently poisons and distorts our inner lives. Our problem is not to be rid of fear, but rather to harness it and master it. So now what King is saying is, listen, okay, there's going to be normal fears that you should have. There's going to be healthy fears that you should have that are going to actually help you. Here's two that I came up with. One is this, the fear of falling into sin. The fear, having a healthy fear of not letting God down, not letting the people around you down, not letting your fellow Christians or your workplace or anybody down, having a healthy fear of falling into sin. 20 years ago, I was brought on staff of the church under Pastor Robert Oliver. Some of you met him when he did my installation service a few years ago. And we got some time to spend together. And, you know, I talked to him and I always asked him. He's always been like a mentor to me. And, you know, I asked him, like, Robert, like, about life and different things. And he said this to me. And this is something that I've adopted for my own prayer life. He said, Mike, I always pray to God that he would kill me before I sinned against my family and my church and my Lord. I don't want to bring disgrace to any of them. I don't want to fall into a sin that's going to bring disgrace to the ministry that God's called me to my family, and to him. I don't want to be, I'd rather be dead. I'd rather him kill me. And you know what? That's the healthy fear of falling into sin. None of us are above sin, are we? Okay, sin is crouching at our door. Don't think you're bionic. Don't think you have superpowers, okay? None of us are immune to falling into sin. So we should have a healthy fear of that. We should realize, you know what? If I go there, if I do this, if I say this, if I'm with these people, it's going to bring me down. And you should have a healthy fear of that. As Christians, we have a huge responsibility to be faithful to the Lord. Not because he won't love us or he'll take our salvation away from us, because he won't ever do those two things. He'll always love us and we'll always be a Christian once we've trusted in him. But we remain faithful to the Lord to bring glory to him. The idea is we want to finish well. You know what? When you're laying in that casket one day, you don't want people looking at you and saying like, you know what? It wasn't too good. You want people saying, man, there lied a faithful person to the Lord that brought many to his feet and brought glory to him. So what do? We pray like Jesus says. What did Jesus say in the Our Father? Lead us not into temptation, right? But deliver us from the evil one. And we do good. Psalm 112 tells us this, for the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. So what that's saying is, you know what? When you're righteous in God's eyes, you don't need to be afraid of what life is going to throw at you. And then finally, a healthy fear is the fear of God. Most of us understand this as having a healthy respect for who God is and what he is capable of. Matthew 10:28 says this, and do not fear, this is Jesus talking, he says, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And you're scratching your head and thinking, wow, that sounds harsh. That sounds really harsh. That's what God's capable of? Yeah, it is. And you know what? God's master plan is to rid this world of evil. Do you realize that? And guess what? If you're attached to that evil, if you're not a Christian, if you're not saved by the blood of Jesus, guess what? You're part with that. So be afraid. If you're not a Christian, if you don't believe in Jesus as your Savior, if you haven't trusted him as your Savior, you should have a healthy fear for the fact that God can do anything. You should have a healthy fear. As a Christian, you should have a healthy fear of that. But here's what we do know. Here's what we do know about the Lord. 1 John 4:18-19 says this, there is no fear in love. Listen closely. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. You know what that's telling us? As a Christian, perfect love has come our way. We've accepted that perfect love, and we don't fear punishment anymore because Jesus took the punishment for us. We love him because he first loved us. And then finally, in John 14:27, it says this. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. Lord, I know that each of us have different fears in life. And I don't want to belittle those fears, but Lord, we know that when we start to focus in on you and start to put into practice the things that you tell us to do, Lord, we know that you are faithful to us and will see us through those fears. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, that as a Christian, as someone who believes in you as their Savior, Lord, we need not be afraid of the future because perfect love has come our way, and we're thankful for that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.